Now, this week marks 5 years since the Olympic Games kicked off in London, during which the cycling team won a total of 8 gold medals. And British riders are still going strong, as demonstrated by Chris Froome's victory in the Tour de France for the 3rd time in a row. But it's not all down to the riders. There's some serious science going on behind the scenes, as Tom Crawford has been finding out. First, though, a flashback to 5 years ago.
Olympic history, a record 6 gold medal here now at London 2012. Get on your feet for the night of cycling. Sir Chris Hoy is in uncharted waters now.
It still gives me goosebumps, even now. Not content with just reminiscing, I went along to this summer's Royal Society exhibition to meet Professor Stuart Burgess. He's an engineer who worked on the actual bikes used in the 2012 Games, and he had one to show me.
It's a track bike for going around the velodrome. The bike can go up to 50 miles per hour, so it's highly optimised for speed throughout the whole bike. And at Bristol University, we've worked on the chain drive. That's the chain, sprocket and front chain wheel, to reduce the losses in the drive, to maximise the efficiency as much as possible, to help the bike go as fast as possible.
So this is a case of British cycling recruiting academics like yourself to be like, guys, could you please help us go faster using science?
Yeah, cycling is a really interesting sport because the bicycle has to suit the rider. It's not like javelin or shot put where everyone has the same equipment. And therefore, there's a lot of engineering science that goes into the bike. And when a team like Team GB win a medal, it's not just the riders. I mean, they are the most important part, but it's also a reflection on the design of the bike as well.
And what kind of things then would be incorporated into a bike design for just in general in terms of going faster and also in terms of a specific rider?
Well, the aerodynamics are the most important factor for a bike. You know, when a bike's going 50 miles an hour, the aerodynamics of the rider are very important. So he leans right down. His clothing equipment is really important. They wear those skin-tight suits. But also the transmission is important. Even though the chain and the sprockets are a small part of the whole system, it's important to minimise the losses in those components. And so at Bristol University, we've done a lot of testing of all kinds of lubricants, coatings, materials, sprockets, to see which ones are the most smooth and the most efficient.
So I'm a mathematician, and I noticed you have a lovely looking equation on your display here. So could we possibly just go and have a quick look and you talk me a little bit through that?
Basically, we've got the drag equation for a bicycle. So on the one side, you have the power output of the rider, which is pretty phenomenal for these Olympic riders. And on the right-hand side, you have the various contributions to drag. So you have the aerodynamic drag. You also have the rolling resistance of the tyres. You also have an acceleration term. But you also have an efficiency term for the efficiency of the transmission. And the reason for having that equation up there is to show the general public that engineers use maths and science to design a faster bike. Because when you look at the equation, you can then see which are the important parameters. You see that mass is an important parameter, drag coefficient is an important parameter, the rolling resistance of the tyres is an important parameter. So an engineer looks at those and then says, well, I need to minimise certain parameters like the mass and the drag coefficient, and I need to maximise certain parameters like the transmission efficiency. So maths is very important to an engineer.
And just when you said the power output is phenomenal for an Olympic rider, could you give me a comparison or some idea of just how powerful these athletes are?
Well, when a commuter is cycling to work, that would typically be 60, 70 watts. But when some of these sprinters are going around the track, sometimes it can be 1.5 kilowatts of power. So it's an incredible amount of power. And the torque they're putting into the crank and the chain is really very high.
So I imagine you have to make sure these things are also designed to be able to withstand that level of power and torque.
Yeah, that's the great challenge, because on the one hand, you need very lightweight components. So you use carbon fibre, and the bike itself weighs 6.8 kilograms. So it's a very lightweight bike. But on the other hand, you have some of the most powerful, strong athletes in the world who are going to exert great forces on this bike. So you have to make it strong at the same time. And that's the great challenge of engineering.
And just finally, will this kind of technology make its way into consumer bikes?
Yeah, that's a question that we've been answering during the week. And yeah, after a couple of years, this technology drips down to club cycling, etc. But not only that, we're hoping we can spin off some of the technology onto other chain drives in factories to make factories more efficient. So it's not just about the Olympics. We want this to have a benefit for society.
A great example of science and sport working hand in hand. Professor Stuart Burgess was speaking to Tom Crawford.